Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, go to pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all you non-members out there, sign up for our free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the Apple Store and Google Play. In today's podcast, we feature an episode from Paint Ed with Torlando. In this episode, Torlando discusses the future of work, virtual estimating, and alternative business models with Brad and Sean from PPG. This episode is brought to you by PPG.
Welcome to Paint Ed. I'm Torlando, your host. So glad to be with you guys today. We got a wonderful show for you. I love doing this show. I'm not going to lie to you. I love communicating and connecting with the paint contracting audience. You guys are just a special breed. Many of you know that I spent many, many years in the paint contracting world. 17 years as a painter, did the apprenticeship, built my business, had successes, had some failures, and I was in it. And doing the show helps me feel like I'm still in it with you, because I get to talk about these wonderful, awesome things. And as I talk to contractors in the field, what I'm noticing, especially this time of year, is that busy season, it just starts to kill us. Finding new workers, getting them trained up quickly, building our crews, it's hard. And it seems like, well, actually I know this because I've done the research, there just aren't as many young people entering into the trade as many, you know, as much as many people are leaving. We've got 10,000 baby boomers leaving and retiring every day from the workforce in the United States, 10,000 every single day. And from what I remember, the baby boomers represent about 40% of workers in the trades. Okay, so think about that for a second. 40% are the current workers that are baby boomers that are retiring. And then young people, it's just 3% that are entering in. So how in the heck are we going to fill that void, that gap? It's a real problem. And what I feel optimistic about it, because there are some really wonderful people in the industry, wonderful companies in the industry, trying to reconceptualize the way we think about work and the future of work. And so today, I am bringing on Brad and Sean from PPG, and they're going to talk about the future of work and they've got some cool things going on over there. And let's first talk about the elephant in the room. I remember not too long ago, PPG made the acquisition of PaintZen. And some of you longtime listeners, you're going to recognize Brad from the Brad Techie era. And he was touting PaintZen. And the truth is, there was a little bit of backlash. But as I was talking to Brad and Sean before the call, they really expressed how much of a learning experience it was for them to get that feedback and to understand and assess the actual needs of paint contractors and to adapt to better serve. So I feel very confident that they're going to be able to come on here and help us with some ideas that they're seeing at a much larger scale regarding the future of work and how we can be better prepared to overcome those challenges. Before I bring them on, I just want to mention that this show, like our other shows, are available on PCA Overdrive, which is it's our homegrown app. It's a Netflix-like experience. There are over 200 plus hours of video content on there that you can stream any time of day. If you're not a member, it's $4.99, like $4.99. That's super cheap. It's cheaper than Hulu. But if you're a member, guess what, guys? It's free. It's free. It's included in your membership. 200 hours plus of wonderful video content, not just podcast content, but webinars and workshops. We've got awesome stuff coming out for apprentices. We have the Trade Best Practice Series. There is so much valuable content on PCA Overdrive. You have to check it out. Go download it on the Android and Apple App Store. Okay, let's bring on our guests. Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad that you guys are with me. In the intro, I hope you didn't feel like I was selling you up the river here, because I called out the beginning thing, you know. But truly, after talking to you guys before the show, I feel, personally, as a paint professional, I feel really comfortable about what you guys are going to share, and I'm super excited to have you on.
Excellent. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having us.
So before we, you know, jump into this discussion, I want you guys to have the opportunity to just tell us who you are, what your role is, and you know, what, you know, maybe how long you've been with PPG, that sort of thing. Why don't you go, Sean?
Yeah, for sure. So, like you said, thank you for the introduction. I'm Sean. So I've actually been with PPG Services since about 2018, July of 2018. And I actually started off working more of like a junior project manager role. So working directly with painters and contractors and getting them not just signed up, but just letting them know about what PPG Services is, right? And the kind of company we are and the kind of vendors that we're looking for and helping them, you know, schedule projects and things like that. So from there, I then moved on to into more of a marketing role. So I switched up gears just a little bit. So it's been exciting to kind of flex the creative muscles a little bit. But yeah, I've been here for a little minute, and I'll probably be staying here for a little bit even longer, you know, so longer time than that. So it's excited to be here.
Awesome. And Brad, you're not a stranger here. With PCA, you've been around. You got a beard, which I didn't recognize you at first. I nearly on the call earlier, I nearly started talking about him to him.
Yeah, it's been a while though, so I'm very thankful that you're having us back. So really appreciate that. You know, a little about myself. You know, I joined Paint Zen in 2016. As a project manager salesperson, mm-hmm. and then have kind of worked up the ranks, was a operations manager where kind of oversaw a lot of the day-to-day operations. Sean was part of that team, built out a lot of technologies to pretty much streamline a lot of the project management pieces. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a product manager, so I work with the IT team to develop more software to streamline our processes and, make it a better experience for, you know, not only the customers that we serve, but also the painter customers that complete our jobs. So that's my day to day.
Got it. So back when you were, you know, the a project manager and sales person with Paint Zen, that was essentially like being a paint contractor. Am I wrong about that? Was it? You were like in it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're out, yeah, doing your site walks and meeting with customers and, you know, following up with customers, emailing, calling, sometimes doing takeoffs or sending, you know, estimate requests into our own internal team to complete estimating for us. It was a full-time job. You basically had your own territory. We were small back then, you know. Yeah. I was the first salesperson on the West Coast for Paint Zen. And so it was, there were some good learnings from that.
Yeah.
I mean, I also had a painting business for 10 years prior to that. So I had some experience coming from that, but the Paint Zen model was definitely quite a bit different than running an employee-owned business.
Yeah, for sure. So that's really good to know, Brad, because you know, I think sometimes, you know, I'm at a technology company, and you know, understanding the real problems that an industry faces and trying to build technology solutions around those problems, it's actually really difficult if you don't have the hands-on experience in that industry. And so, you know, you're probably a pretty good hire for them to be able to, to move up to where you're at. So congratulations on that role.
Thank you very much.
So Brad and Sean, you know, I was saying that the future of work is a little bit obscure right now. You know, we really are having a hard time attracting people to the trade, and you know, the young people who come in and they get it, it opens their eyes to this future that could actually be pretty great if they're willing to try it. But at the same time, you know, we've just got people retiring so quickly and not, you know, it's not enough young people are coming in. What are you guys seeing in terms of that, you know, as you talk to all of your customers, is that hitting hard? I mean, how are people dealing with this from your perspective?
Yeah. I mean, it's been an ongoing problem in painting industry, but also like the construction industry in general. You know, there's not as many young people coming into the trades. Those that do come in and either love it or hate it, and then, you know, exit or continue to learn. And then those that do love it typically become good painters and then see that they have the skills to create their own business. Which then they leave an employee or an employer to start their own business, and now they've become a competitor of their former employer, which has kind of been a general trend. I know, like, you know, my own painting company, half of my employees that I had are running their own businesses now. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk regularly, and I provide, you know, tips and helpful antidotes when I can for them. But that's definitely, it's been an ongoing issue that I don't have a solid way to tackle it now, but I would say, you know, you could potentially, you know, look at your business model and say, hey, you know, if I'm 100% employee business, you know, does it make any sense to move to a hybrid where I do have a subcontract, you know, maybe vertical in my business. And maybe that's only for residential exterior repaints, or maybe it's only for commercial repaints or whatever. But yeah, being able to, you know, identify your shortcomings of your employees, so to speak, like maybe they're really good at, you know, one type of project versus, you know, industrial tilt up, you know, commercial buildings, maybe they're not good at big sprayers and block filling and stuff like that. Well, then maybe you start looking for, you know, partners in your area that can help you with that. And so that you're not focusing your time, money, effort, trying to hire a crew that maybe doesn't know how to do that the right way.
Right. Right. That's an excellent point. Just kind of reexamining, you know, our business models. And, you know, when I think about the actual history of trade, when I go like all the way back, when I go back to the guild system, you know, 500 years ago, what you're saying was actually just how it worked. You know, you would train as an apprentice under a master craftsman. You know, you were 12 and you'd live with them. It was a little bit different, but but you would train as an apprentice under master craftsman, and during that apprenticeship you would work your way up to become a journeyman. And the word journey it actually is coming from French. The French word journe, I think, is what it is, and it means day. And so you're basically a day man. if you're Sunny, it's always Sunny in Philadelphia fan, defender of the night. So you're a day worker, essentially. The journeyman is a day worker. And they would go on their journeyman year, traveling to different shops and towns, training under different master craftsmen so that they could build up their skills. And then one day, find a town where they could join a local guild and open up their own master craftsman shop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. So those teams never got very big. It was always a master craftsman, a journeyman, and an apprentice. And then the apprentice learns the skills, the journeyman moves up, starts his own company. So it's just not, it's not actually that different, is my point.
Yeah. No, it's right? Almost exact.
So what I like about what you're saying, though, is that if we are re-examining our business model and thinking of it in terms of maybe more of a hybrid model where, sure, we bring in the apprentices, we make it attractive, we even say, hey, this is a trade that you can take with you, you can even start your own business, then maybe when we introduce that hybrid model of bringing in subcontractors, maybe they're even subcontractors that we've trained that have decided that they want to go on their own. Now we can expand and possibly get the best of both worlds. Is that fair, what you guys are saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I mean, there's, you know, the barrier to entry to the residential market is pretty easy, right? Like, you have a truck, you have a ladder, you get your license, maybe a brush and roller, maybe a sprayer, and you're ready to roll. Mm-hmm. But when you start stepping in a, you know, bigger commercial projects, even repaints, if you don't have those skills, how do you even sell to that particular client? So, you know, learning before so that you can understand the process also enables your selling. So absolutely. It's a learning process from, you know, brush to salesperson. So it never ends, really. It shouldn't, at least.
Yeah, for sure. So with this, you know, this inherent challenge, I mean, that, you know, that idea is all well and good, but, you know, just even being able to find those people in the first place is incredibly hard. And I feel like it's a topic for another, for another show. But if I'm having a hard time, I want to kind of transition to talking about ways that we can maximize our efficiencies and save time in other ways in newer and inventive ways. And Sean, from my understand, you know a thing or two about virtual estimating. Could you speak a little bit about this, and Brad, also feel free to chime in?
Yeah, of course. So I think one of the biggest reasons why we're even having this conversation about virtual estimating, right, is because COVID and 2020 has just put a halt on affected a lot of us, right? So, and we have to think about it even from just like a safety perspective, right? So, when we're talking about virtual estimating, we're also talking about the fact of how time and cost effective it is for everyone to really be able to have different touch points of these projects and have different estimates in these projects in a short amount of time, right? Where they may not be able to get on site. But also that, to push that even further, right, the virtual estimation, it's still new for a lot of people. So there's a little bit of a learning curve that people have to go through in order to kind of make sure that the estimation is going to be exactly what they need it to be. Right. So,
so many variables.
It's a couple different variables, like, as you said, but, I think that especially as the industry continues to grow and go more towards into a digital space, virtual estimation is only going to become more important. It's only going to be part of the workflow even more as time goes on, in order for people to kind of estimate and be able to do, knock out, you know, three birds with one stone, really, you know, and be able to kind of do that in a more efficient way. So it's really not going anywhere, but you know, it's people kind of, we're all kind of trying to figure out the best ways of virtual estimation and really, really try to make it make sense for us. Cause it's, like I said, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. You go ahead, Torlando.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I agree with this on a fundamental level. I think that the consumer patterns that we're seeing are they're shaped by retail, and they kind of move over into services. So the way that you know, Amazon, you know, changes the world. Hello, they, you know, I mean, it's just, you buy differently, right? Now I buy my groceries online and I have them delivered to my house. It's a much better experience. I'm actually able to save money because I can stay within a budget, and I'm not, you know, impulse purchasing, you know, candy off of the shelves. So the expectation of how consumers buy is really being driven by, I think, by e-commerce in a huge way. But services have been trailing behind for a very long time, and that's because of the complexity. You know, you think about all of the different variables that go into measuring a house, and how many different services there are, how many different angles, the quality of the walls, the damage level, the repairs. Is there furniture? Some of these houses are just jam packed with furniture, and they want you to paint around it. And it's like, well, I told you, I asked you to move this furniture, and you didn't. You know, but you have to paint anyway, and so you go in and you paint. There are all these variables that make it so that the idea of presenting a virtual estimate, or even having the customer put in answers that would determine a price, is very, very scary, as what I've found out. And truthfully, the bigger the price tag, the scarier it is for both people, because there's just not enough comfort yet in that decision making. But that might be where we're at today. That doesn't mean that that's where we're at tomorrow. You got companies like Carvana, where you can just buy a car online and they'll ship it to your house, right? No more salesperson. You just buy it. That's it. No more haggling on price. You just buy it. So I think that the expectation of where consumers' heads are at, you just want the convenience factor, and I think it's on companies to figure out how to produce an accurate bid virtually, which is a huge hurdle to climb, and a hurdle that I think a lot of companies just don't have the resources to be able to build a technology that can do that.
Yep.
Brad, you're right?
I would definitely echo that. You know, painters are great at painters. Owners are good at maybe one piece of the business or multiple pieces, because the owner has to wear many hats. But most of the time, I'm not going to say all the time, but a majority of the time, technology is definitely not one that they're proficient in. And that's why, you know, you see a lot of Wix and WordPress and lots of different kinds of websites that are fairly generic. And don't have like those bells and whistles that can allow a virtual estimating, you know, even an online, you know, request form, simple things like that sometimes. So I guess, you know, understanding, you know, where you want to go as an owner or a painter with your business, and like, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about prior about your niche. What's your best type of project? So, you know, where do you make the most money? Where are your employees the most efficient? And then starting there, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I'm an exterior only painter, why would I build an interior pricing calculator for my customers? It just doesn't make sense. But if I'm an exterior painter, why? I have all the knowledge, I have all the backup, the history, everything I need to create an exterior pricing calculator. I already use it probably to quote my projects, unless it's the old roll of the dice estimating trick. Yeah. Just feel it. looks like about, you know, 2 days for two guys or whatever.
The WAG method, the wild ass guess.
And I mean, that's gotten many people that I know quite a ways, but it's also bit them hard sometimes. So, you know, I think
it's not scalable at all, right?
Yeah, it's not
head knowledge with the owner.
Yep. That's it. And so, I mean, that's, you know, with the virtual estimating piece, you know, I think it's huge. You know, you talked about Amazon, customers want to know how much things are going to cost now. It's just the bottom line. And, you know, you can spin somebody's wheel on, you know, like, hey, I want to come out and do an estimate because I can't give you any kind of pricing right now. They call you, email, whatever. But if you're able to somewhat give them a range that fits their budget and their expectation based on, you know, pictures or whatever, then, you know, you're one step closer to closing that sale.
Right.
And, you know, the old, like, you know, there are going to be some customer, you know, there's a lot of painting companies that sell on relationship, and it's all about relationship, right? The follow-ups, and then after the project's done, you're contacting them a year or two down the road. Hey, how's your paint job? You need any touch-ups? You need pressure washing done? Blah, blah, you know, like add-on services, interior, stuff like that. That's great. And you could still automate all of that through, you know, your CRM program or just automatic emails, little add-ons in Google. But wearing masks during this, you know, current state of affairs, like people, they don't necessarily want you to come to their house if you don't have to. So giving them the tools necessary to give them what they need to make a decision on whether or not to go that next step will put you in the running for that project much better than, you know, coming out cold and walking around with the customer and doing like what the industry's done for many, many years, which is just the site walk, you know, tell them how you're going to prep this wall and how you're better than the other guy because you do this caulking there and they don't do that. And, you know, those kind of typical things. It's definitely going to be a very strong tool to have either on your website or as its own link. And there's plenty of technologies out there that are very simple drag and drop technologies that the owners can use to build themselves, or they can hire someone to do that for them.
Yeah, we're definitely moving to this no code world where you can piece together different tools. I want to go back to one of the points that you made just about the fact that people want to know the price. I think that's a really important piece. So back when I was running my company, you know, I saw what Paint Zen was doing and I thought, gosh, that's going to be crucial. That's, you know, that's the wave, that's the future. If I don't have that kind of thing, you know, I'm gonna be behind the times. And luckily other painters are also behind the times, so I had a little more time than I thought. But I was thinking, oh, I gotta create this thing as fast as possible. So I worked with a company, and it, as it happened, it is the company that I'm with today, because they just took my technology. So let's just do this together. And they acquired what I was working on. And, but when I was testing it, with different customers, and I was talking to, I had one customer in particular who was a business school professor, in the marketing program. And, you know, I just took the opportunity to get her mind and her feedback on what this was about. And I realized that what she helped me realize was that in my original thinking, I was thinking of it all in the old way, which is you reveal the price at the very end, and that is when they make the decision to purchase, either yes or no, at the very, very end, right? We do all this marketing work. We do all this effort to get them to just at least book the estimate. We do the whole song and dance. We pull out the presentation. We show them our reviews. We, you know, do our meticulous measurements. And then we leave and say, we'll email you with the bid. And then that's the end of the sales process, giving them, right? And that is the worst possible sales process that I've, like, it's just so bad. I don't know. You're just not selling as well as you could be. What she told me, and this was key, she said that the price is actually in the consideration stage, not the conversion stage.
Yep.
Right? It's in the consideration stage, not the conversion stage. We have been using the price as the final piece to convert them into a customer. The customer actually wants the price way before. And then it dawned on me, you know, I just started thinking, just put myself in the shoes of the consumer. I said, okay, well, if I were purchasing paint, I would first need to know if I have enough money in the bank for a painting project. Because if I don't have enough money in the bank, it's not happening. Right?
Yeah.
So why would I call somebody out if I don't know if I have enough money in the bank? It's either a this year project or a next year project. Me figuring out what that cost is up front is going to help me to actually make the phone call. And that was like the first big thing that I thought about. The second thing was that I thought, and granted, this was a little bit earlier. This was several years ago. So technology wasn't as available as it is today. It was still, you know, decently available, but you had to dig. The second thing was, okay, now, well, how am I going to build a cost calculator? Which, by the way, from a marketing perspective, cost calculators are extremely effective. They work in many, many industries. It's just so slow getting to the paint industry. So my thought was, how the heck do I build this thing? Because I'm not a programmer. But Brad, what you're saying, and maybe Sean, you can touch on this too, it's all about leveraging the emerging technologies and tools for your business to increase those efficiencies and to make your ideas even possible. So maybe Sean and Brad, you can comment on what do we need to be thinking about in terms of adopting new technologies to make our business more efficient?
Yeah, I'll start. I think one of the main things that people also have to really understand as well is that it's the way in which painting has been done, or people are processing, you know, deciding to not just paint their home, but paint, you know, their multiple offices across the country is changing a little bit, right? Like, so one of the main ways is changing that people want the transparency first, right? They want to see the layout of exactly how much it's going to cost, what's exactly being done before they even say yes, right? So they want to kind of avoid that little bit of that sticker shock, so to speak, right? When you drop the check at the restaurant and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I had this much. Yeah. They want to have that beforehand now, right? And I think that mentality has changed because of the world, you know, because of the digital world that we're in. We can get all that information up front, right? We can get that provided through other resources. So I think when we're talking about even like business wise, when we're talking about painters, it's crucial. From the things that I've seen, it's absolutely crucial to really give your client a really solid understanding of how much, you know, a project, an undertaking could be, right? So it's and I think it's going to stay that way for a little bit now, you know. So the best way to do it as well, as we were talking about technology, is also find the right technology that works for your business. So it's not always one thing that's going to be the cure-all, solve-all for you.
Right.
So it's just really about, you know, doing a little bit of your research, finding out which one, you know, what kind of tech or virtual estimating software may be right for you and for what the business that you have right now, right? What works for your team of four or five may not necessarily work for your team of 30, 40. So it's really a, and there's different softwares, different pieces of software out there that are great to use. So yeah, it's really just about just finding whatever works for you and kind of making it work that way. And while also continuing to keep, you know, what makes your company, right? What makes you guys special, holding that while also bridging what new technology can really take that to another level.
Yeah. Brad, you know, so as the head of the product manager over at PPG Services, what are you like, what does your meeting room look like when you are trying to conceptualize what technologies to create for contractors? Well, I would love to have like a little inside peek as to what you guys are thinking about and how you guys are just kind of, you know, thinking of the future of estimating, but and managing businesses and stuff from a technology perspective.
Sure. Well, I mean, so with product management, you know, it's agile thinking. So we basically take a user's problems and then we try to dissect it into smaller and smaller issues, so to speak. And then from there, we, you know, create solutions from those different problems that were identified during early stages of a project. So with like the virtual estimating and just estimating in general, you know, we have a little different view than I'd say a contractor would. Although because we have, you know, we're working nationally, so we have different issues that happen regionally versus maybe a local contractor. But I will tell you that there are certain things that every contractor, including PPG Services, have in common that you could use to build out a pricing tool for your own business. Some of those being all of your, you know, past jobs, for instance. Like you've got all these records and this data for everything that you've done in the past. What sold, what didn't sell, what made profit, what didn't make profit, what type of project it was, how many hours, what was the prep like, all the things that, all those details that make up a project. You know, if you have good records and you're not doing the, you know, throw a price out to the wind, then you can utilize that to basically create a pricing chart based on some factors that could potentially you can standardize. When I think of like exterior residential, for instance, you know, if you go on Redfin or Zillow, you can always see the square feet of the house, you know, whether or not it's a, and there's typically always a picture too. And so you have a 1500 square foot house and it's two story and you painted that house and you see what price you charged. You saw the condition. Now you can start to kind of dive into what, you know, what that square foot pricing would be based on that square footage with all those details. And if you've done, you know, many, many years of projects, you can start utilizing all of those to create, you know, decent ballpark numbers for customers. That could be your first step to creating a pricing calculator. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my day to day, you know, we're dealing with the same type of problems where we have customers that, you know, demand quote turnovers quickly, you know, and we're not doing one or two, we're doing hundreds. And so the pricing has to be consistent. It has to be detailed and it has to be scalable because, you know, we could get a customer that has 1,000 projects that they want pricing for in a week. And well, we have to be able to accommodate that. So, you know, finding those efficiencies, like I was talking about, where you can look back on your past history to create something that is a standard. And for like exterior repaints, it would be a square foot price. You have a 1500 square foot house. It's built in 2004. And your average price for that is between this number and this number. Well, now you're one step closer to having, you know, a calculator that you could provide to your customers online even, or even on the phone or virtual, whatever, with very minimal inputs, because making the customer fill out you know, a huge form. They don't want that. You know, I would say keep it at like their name, the email, and maybe three questions, and give them a price. Like, don't waste their time. But if you can, residential interiors, like you said, the furniture and all these other things, you know, that's a whole different ballgame. But if you set up the expectation and the assumptions appropriately, you know, develop a web page that holds this calculator that has pictures of yays and nays of like getting a good price for your job, then, you know, you're preparing that customer for what you're going to offer and the price that they have coming to them.
Yeah. You know, I think this idea of like taking something big and just breaking it down into small digestible chunks, you know, that is kind of, I mean, that is the way that we think about things in software development. But it, and I think a lot of my listeners know, you know, especially from my book Sprint, that I take a lot of what I've learned in software and apply it to the paint industry. And this idea of taking these small things and having a what they call a minimum viable product, an MVP. And this is what I'm, you know, this is what I'm hearing, starting with a range. If there are enough qualities of a particular job with all of the details that you have and you keep a history, then you can start to notice patterns that will help you to build out these pricing tools. You know, this is a really great topic for us because, you know, in our group, the Paint Ed group, you know, we get a lot of people asking, you know, how much would you charge for this or how much square footage for this? And it's what's ironic is that they're essentially asking their peers for a virtual estimate, and nobody knows how to answer because there's so many different variables. But what it all comes down to is you have to know your numbers. You have to keep track of these things. As you're doing them, write out how much you thought it was going to take and how much it actually took. You know, just do the math, figure out these numbers. And I love what you're saying, Brad, that even having a ballpark range gives people the basis of a future calculator. One of the things that I recommend on websites, this would be for just like your blog. Right. Like, I think every website should have a blog, and every time you have a new project, once you complete a project, take pictures of the beginning of the project, the middle of the project, and the end of the project so that you can create a story, write out what happened on, you know, during the project and talk about the results, put in a little quote from the customer. And then at the very bottom, put the scope and the price of what that job was. Because what that does, it almost is like an article version of an HGTV show. They always have the scope and the final price on the HGTV show. That's part of what customers expect. And it's a really great way to do several things. One, to market your business and your workflow and your process, but also to keep track of those prices so that you have a reference for, you know, a house of this caliber is going to cost somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000. A room of this size is going to cost somewhere between $700 and $1,200. If you have that basis for a range, like Brad's saying here, you really can have the foundation of a calculator that eventually people will be just expecting you to have.
Yep. Yeah, and so, it's also just a check and balance too. Yeah. If you have your square foot number and you go out and actually do a physical estimate and you look at what those dimensions are, and maybe this is like if you hired a new estimator and they come in and you're like, for my 1500 square foot interior house, I'm always at this number, but this guy was, he just quoted the, you know, almost double. What's going on? You know, how do I, What are we missing, or what do we add on here that's making us, you know, charge more? Oh, you know, and is this subjective, or is it an actual just error in calculations? So,
yeah,
it can serve multiple purposes.
How did he do it? Because we need to do more of that, right?
Yeah, totally. Yep.
So I like what we're talking about here, this idea of incorporating virtual estimating, incorporating new technology. What's the third thing that we kind of need to know from your guys' perspective in terms of tackling this problem that of the future of work?
Probably just how to build it, I would assume. after you have all of these things, you know, like what value or what technologies to choose, how to implement it, and then also just what to focus your time on. I mean, I guess there's multiple parts there. So
I imagine, let me rephrase it a little bit. So I imagine that a lot of it is maybe you don't have to build all of these things from scratch. Maybe there are vendors out there that have, things, software technologies, but you know, honestly, a lot of the paint vendors are coming out with new tools every day that seem to be doing some really cool things. What are some of the things that you guys are creating and building for contractors to help them along these lines?
For PPG services, you know, we're working on our painter portal. So it's, you know, all of our vendors can log in and update photos and note taking. And it's just like that communication, that project management piece, so that they have a streamlined schedule for everything that we're, you know, all the work that they're doing for us. That's one of the keeping organized. There's so many different systems for scheduling, and you know, every painter uses different systems that some don't integrate. You know, some are on GCal, some are using, you know, other softwares. And so being able to create something that enables them to basically add us as just any other contractor, even though we may give them more volume or we might have extra special requirements based on what the project is, just giving them the tools that they need so that they're efficient and productive, and they're not wasting time trying to find things that they're supposed to do, because you know our processes are different than theirs. So that's one of probably one of our biggest tools that we're providing right now. That it's will be, you know, probably in the works very, or will be out public very soon for most of our vendors. Other than that, you know, PPG itself is working on quite a few different tools to help the painter community between, you know, color choosing and in general, just providing painters with jobs for, you know, projects where they don't have to do the estimating. We're taking the estimating and providing the price for them. So it saves them time, and, you know, they also get to learn new trades or new types of projects typically, maybe that they wouldn't have had been able to see by just, you know, being a contractor locally. So,
so real quick on that, cause I know that, I'm thinking of my own, you know, personal objections that I might have to that. Cause a lot of my role as host here is actually just to represent the contractor. Cause I care deeply about them, and I want to, I'm going to offer a little pushback here. So please, don't be offended here, but this idea that you guys are providing the price, that I think could be a little bit scary for contractors, because they have their own prices and they, you know what they charge, most of them, and they're, you know, maybe worried that that they might not get a very fair rate. How do you guys overcome that objection?
Yeah, so I mean, great point. You know, and I'll go back to my beginnings of being a painting contractor. I was introduced to paint zone by doing jobs. So You know, I was a user of the platform prior to being an employee. But I think probably one of the biggest factors that is, number one, is you're not obligated to the project. So you get to, we provide takeoffs and square footage, you know, finish schedule. If there are plan sets, then we'll, you know, provide the takeoffs that we did from our estimating. Typically we do a lot of site surveys where we're going out and doing a site walk, or a local crew is doing a site walk and taking photos. So the idea is that, hey, we want to be as transparent as possible. We're not trying to loop anybody into something that they can't take on. Here is all the details that we know of a project. Apply those numbers to your business model. And if it fits, great. We can't wait for you to do this job. If it doesn't, you know, you pass, and it doesn't fit my business model. Hey, you know, I've got 20 journeyman painters that I pay $80 an hour to. I can't do, you know, that job for that price. No problem. It's understandable. And, but yeah, I guess the real key thing is being detailed enough on scope of work, being very communicative so that if there are questions, if the contractor needs to do a site walk themselves to assure themselves that they can do it, you know, we set that up, we coordinate it all for them. If we haven't provided enough info, and then we learn from it, right? Like if we don't give them enough info, like, hey, why did we not give them enough info? What was it that we missed that they need to find or have in order to make an educated decision on whether or not the job fits their business or not?
Yeah.
And then we you know, reiterate, and we're like, oh, okay. So for this particular type of project, we need to provide, you know, this, this, and this. And then also this one little extra section of maybe it's a finish schedule, maybe it's data sheets, maybe it's, you know, lift equipment, stuff like that, where we just learn. And I'd say that's probably what we do daily, especially as we get different projects.
I would definitely echo that, Brad, especially we communicate a lot with our vendors at PPG Services. And I think that's one of the best things about us, and also why I just enjoy working for PPG Services, is that, you know, we listen to the feedback. We listen to, you know, the changes that, you know, our vendors would like to make, or, you know, the differences of the nuances, right, of a particular project and things on site. So all of that is a part of the process, right? Like not only are we just transparent with, you know, our national account, our national customers, we're very transparent with our vendors as well, right? It goes both ways. So I think that's like a really, really key component, as well as just how communicative we are, and how much that we believe in that, right? We believe it's a partnership here. There's a relationship there that we, you know, that we want to continue to foster and build upon. So, you know, when it comes to a project, if the project doesn't make sense, you know, we definitely have to understand, like, you know, why does it not make sense, but like, how can we also in the future for our next project, if you can't do this one, how will that make more sense for you moving forward, right? We want to continue to build that relationship and continue to give our vendors project after project. So that's always the goal. But, you know, to work through that, we gotta talk through that, right? So
yeah,
it's part of the process.
Yeah.
So how much money can you make if you're a vendor for PPG Services? I think that's got to be on people's minds. How much am I going to make?
It all depends on the market that you're located in. You know,
give
we
me
work
with change.
Give me I mean, there's one. There, you know, I don't, that's a tough one. Like, we have contractors that make, you know, six figures with us in a year. And then we have some that are in three figures. So it's just, again, it's like based on their scope, skill, and then also the locale, because if, you know, because we work with national clients, if it's an area that doesn't necessarily have like a bunch of box stores or, you know, retail centers, we're probably not going to have a ton of clients there. So whereas like large, you know, cities are going to have many more opportunities, and that's going to be where our busier partners are. So yeah, it's the range is very large.
there's it's definitely a large range. And, you know, I think the beauty also of working with national clients is that it's kind of like I said, it's all over the country. So, and some of the projects will range from, you know, just having, you know, a couple doors repainted to, you know, entire hotel chains, right? Like entire interior. So it really kind of, it really depends, you know, it depends on the location, depends on the season. So all of that is, comes into play there.
Well, and with that, with the nature of that work, I know that, even getting that kind of commercial work, can be really difficult. I know I had a paint crew who then came to me, after having gone, you know, they were traveling because they had contracts at big box stores. And so they were traveling for probably 3 or 4 years, from, you know, location to location, you know, just so that they could stay super busy. And finally they said, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. We're going to come back local and, you know, find somebody to partner up with. And so they did a lot of great work for us, but they were tired of travel. My point here is this, those huge chains, they don't like having to do the legwork of finding local contractors. They want one company to work with and the schedule of maintenance going on across, across their locations. And so I think this is where the actual opportunity is for the local contractor who would like to have a big, box store to paint. Perhaps connecting with PPG services, could be the avenue to get that opportunity while staying local and not having to travel across the country. Is that, do you see that happening quite a bit?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's essentially the model, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and the other, I mean,
that's what's happening.
The other piece too is, yes, those jobs are hard because number one, like you said, the customer does not want to deal with 100 different vendors to paint all their stores that are exactly nearly the same scope. But then even if you do get, they typically partner with the general contractor, and then that general contractor, you know, has to do the hunting down of different subs, and you're bidding on jobs. And it's like this process of lots of extra time. And we talked about virtual estimating and wasted time, that all happens, you know. But the other, you know, key point with becoming a partner here with PPG Services is that, once you're a partner with us, then we don't, you know, payments come extremely fast, like within a week of your project completed, which is not the norm for the commercial world. So, yes, it's hard to get into the project, but it's also really hard to get paid for the project if in the normal world. So right. Partnering with PPG Services kind of kills both of those in one.
Got it. Very cool. Well, gentlemen, that is going to be our time for the show. If people want to learn more about PPG Services and what you guys are doing, where should we send them?
You can send them right to ppgservices.com.
There it is. Okay, ppgservices.com. Well, thank you, guys. I'm going to send you guys backstage. I appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, there we have it, folks. There is Sean and Brad from PPG Services. Great dudes. Pleasure to have them on. You know, part of my goal here of this show is to push the boundaries in terms of how we think about our businesses. And, you know, what I find, because I engage with contractors all the time, and sometimes we think that things have to be a certain way. And I believe that can shoot us in the foot sometimes. Sometimes when we have this mentality, this fixed mentality about how things are supposed to be, it could actually stand in the way of us finding new opportunities. And so I really do like to bring on people who have different perspectives and are doing things differently, just so that the industry itself is just expanding upon our thinking of, you know, what is even possible. You know, when I think about the story of PaintZen and how they were acquired by PPG, and PPG created the PPG services for the commercial sector. PaintZen had to start somewhere. They had to start by painting their first house. And as, you know, Brad was saying, dealing with thousands of estimates all at once, the growth potential in this business and the way that you think about it in this industry, really the sky is the limit in terms of what we do. You don't have to do it the PPG way. You don't have to go and use their services. They're a premier partner, so I hope you do. But I think the big thing that I want to push out here is that there is just not one way to do this. Our industry needs innovation. It needs to push the boundaries. It needs to break through walls of the old way of doing things, because what it comes back down to is that the labor shortage is mission critical. We have to find people who will do the work because it's out there. And the companies that are willing to think outside of the box and innovate, they're going to be the ones that ultimately see success at the end, because they were willing to see the world in a different way. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Torlando. I'm your host, and we'll see you next time on Paint Ed.
Paint Ed podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and is made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.